You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you all for being here and being a part of what we're doing. We've got a great show lined up for you guys today. But if any of you out there have a story of your own and you'd like to come on the show and share it, please email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Again, paranormalportalradio, all one word, @gmail.com. I'll get in touch with me and we can dial it in and get you on the show to share your experience as well. But today, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a returning guest. This is Scott again from the East Coast, and he's coming back to continue his journey with us and bring us up to speed on what's been going on. So I hope you're all ready because we're going in. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, buddy.
Good, good.
Thanks for having me back. Let me finish this out here.
Yeah.
So just so we can kind of get back to where we stopped. I didn't even realize we talked for an hour the last time that we talked. It just went by pretty quick.
Sure.
But I left off in December of what happened to me when I told you something jumped on me. The December actions where we left off.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can go back to that part where that entity jumped on me, and then we'll just reverse it just a few more months, because that was only, like I said, 4 weeks now. So a month ago now, that thing actually bruised me up.
Wow.
So if we drop back before these events as they go, I'll tell you just how it played out real quick. So this has been going on in my house here for almost a year since I bought this current house. And these activities, whatever's going on, they ramp up right before a major tragedy, either a death or my father's house burnt down again.
Yes.
This is we've had three fires since I've been alive.
Wow.
And this fourth one's totally on him because I don't live with him. But just as things go, I've already lost three of my friends this year. Last year I had 12. So I had 12 funerals last year, some family, plus all my buddies are just dying off on me, and they're all not even close to 70 yet. I've had one that was 77, but so anyhow, I'll try to, because this is just so, it all blends. There's been so much happen here, it all kind of blends, but just the best that I can remember, and this is where I really need you, if I'm saying something incorrect, correct me, please.
Oh, sure.
Because,
yeah, I mean, I certainly,
yeah, so,
I don't know your experiences, but however you describe it is fine, but if there's some way that I can help your description, I will.
Well, it'll help me because after we get done, I really got to start doing some research, because now I've figured it out that something's just trying to tell me something, and I really need to address it, in other words, or I wouldn't get woke up every single night, just like last night again.
Sure.
So, just to start from the gate. So if we drop back to the December, November range of last year, I'll start from there. So just the simplest little weird things that I notice, I get home usually around, you know, 5-6 o'clock, depending on what needs to be done at the shop. I run two businesses, my own plus where I'm working. So anyhow, I get home, my routine's pretty basic. I let the pups out, well, a pup and an older Chihuahua, he's 5. So I get home, basic routine, pull in the driveway, I walk up to the door, I lock the deadbolt plus the door itself, the door lock on the lower. So I unlock both of those, I go inside, I get my pups, I come back outside, we let them out, I go to walk back into the house, and I can't get in, the door's locked. So I'm like, what the heck? My keys are on the counter.
Wow.
So I had to go to the garage code. I go to the garage code, pop the garage open. I come in, and my deadbolt's locked. And the only way you can lock that deadbolt is either from the inside or with the key on the outside, and my key is sitting on the table.
Wow.
So, little weirdness. Not too crazy. But just in my head, I'm thinking, you know, like, that's odd. So I get a whole bunch, and I'm talking every 2 days, I have an issue with this door. And the way this plays out gets a little weird, but every time before I have a death, I would have a door open, which it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So we'll just say it was in January, this is when it first started. So I had January, February, and March, all in combination, all three good friends, crazy activity right before it actually happened. So anyhow, December, let's see, it was December 27th, I do believe. It was 27th. So I was getting tormented the night. I got slapped 3 times total, but every other night. And it was right when I start to dream, so to speak. And my, well, let me explain this real quick. So through my Sasquatch Chronicle stuff, I've listened to everything he's had. And then I work for a living. My hands are always busy. So 12 hours a day, I listen to podcasts. And usually I listen to TED Talks or informational. I don't listen to music. I just listen to an informational, trying to better myself, as always.
Mm-hmm.
So I was listening to a TED Talk, and they were talking about lucid dreaming. And since I listened to it, it was an hour and a half, I realized I've been doing this since I was a kid. Because since I was a kid, I've always had fun in my dreams, and I know I'm dreaming, so I'm able to play. I'm able to do whatever I want. Well, usually I work in my dreams. Like, it's weird how a 30-minute dream can feel like a full day.
Yeah, because
the time's not, the time's not the way it is here.
Sure.
So when I go in, I build. I'm a builder. I build cars. And in my dreams, I just do, once I realize I'm dreaming, I just go off and, because it's whatever you think. So whatever you will, it will happen. So a prime example of this is I have a sports car, and it's a came out stock. It's a little two-seater convertible, and it came out stock with four cylinders. And in my dream, I put a V8 in this thing, and I did, it's a Mustang engine.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a Mustang engine in it, and I did a fuel injection.
Oof.
And I told a couple people that I was thinking about doing this, and they're like, yeah, it's not as easy as you think. You know, there's over 258 wires in the wiring harness that you need to convert to make a fuel injected 5.0, which is a Mustang engine, working this car that was never designed to have it. So in my sleep, I built this car, and I wrote down, because I carry a notepad beside my bed, because my dreams are so real. They feel so real, and they're accurate, which is weird. So in my dream, I built this wiring harness. When I woke up, there's a lot of wires that go to an ECU, which is your engine control unit, controls the engine.
Okay.
So in my dream, I built this engine harness. I wrote it down. I went out the next day in the barn, and I wired it up, and it fired first shot. First time I turned the key over, it fired right up. It worked.
Mm.
So that's what, when I contacted you, I told you I thought that, is it possible that a dream's a dimension, because so much of it is real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking about that, and then I'm starting to think that, I don't know, why do we sleep, you know, a third of our life? Why is there 8 hours we dedicate to sleep? And yet, if you use the term, let me sleep on it, you usually will come up with a better decision in the morning than what you would have if you made that decision right now, if it's complex. So, a little weird to me, and I just bounce the things around. So, when I heard on that TED Talk that he called it lucid dreaming, I was like, wow, I think I really do that, so I'm going to focus on doing that more. So I listened to a couple more of the TED Talks where they talk about the lucid dreaming, and I realized I do the same thing. I always get woke up between 3:30, 4 o'clock. It's just without a doubt, but usually 3 to 4 is, it's somewhere within that range always, and usually about by 4:30 I can start to chill out and lay down and actually sleep, and that's when I start to really do that lucid dreaming, so to speak. So the last thing I can really remember is every time that I do one of these lucid dreams, I have activity in my house while I'm asleep. So when I'm dreaming and I'm out doing my thing and having fun, I always get woke up by my girlfriend. She'll be shaking me because there's always tapping either on a mirror in the house, like I said, that one I got turned backwards that's up against the wall.
Sure.
Or the glass patio door, which I don't like how there's that much glass, and there's always tapping on it, and she'll shake me, and because she's terrified of this. I just told her that I was talking to you again. She left. She didn't even, she didn't want to hear it. Like, she just literally got in her car and left.
I'm so sorry.
So I can't. I know what she's feeling. I can't help it. That's why I said hopefully I can, after we get done today, I can really address this and take care of it. I hope that's the plan here.
Sure.
So, anyhow, she would shake me, and when I'd wake up, I am the nicest person. I promise you, I get along with everybody. I'm never rude, but when she first wakes me up, I'm bummed out because I'm having so much fun. You see what I mean? It's like I'm doing my movie thing. I'm having fun, so I'm like, man, I wish she wouldn't have woke me up.
Yeah.
And then she's like, why are you being grumpy? And I said, that's not my intention. I'm not trying to be grumpy. It was just,
sure,
I'm having so much fun, and you're waking me up because of some tapping. So I always get up and I investigate. You know, I do the house perimeter check, all doors still locked, it's all good. But it's literally right before I start to, when I relax enough to where your mind starts to relax, like you're running or your body, you can no longer, like you can tell you're laying there, but you're relaxed. In other words, usually that's when something tries to get my attention. And so that happened a few times, and with the whole, her waking me up shaking with the tapping and all that, and it just escalated. And then there's a night where I'm laying there. It was 3:20 something in the morning. It's 3:23 to be exact, but it was 3:20 in the morning, and it sounds like there are deer on my roof.
Wow.
And I just like four-legged, like just deer. That's the only way to say it. Deer on my roof. So I'm laying there, and I look over at her, and she is just sawing logs, like literally. How are you sleeping through this? I have a fan on. I have to run a fan to, because if a cricket farts, I'm waking up. Like, I can hear a cricket fart, which is, I get, it's just the littlest things will wake me up, and I value sleep. Like, it's so precious to me, and I hardly ever get it.
Right.
So, anyhow, I'm like, how is she not hearing this thing? And I can hear these things running across the roof, and then it sounds like a skateboard, like that, all the way to the end, and I could tell the direction that it came off. It came off by the patio, by my door. So I jump up, and I flip the porch light on. I look out back. No tree limbs fell. Nothing fell. Because I was thinking maybe, because I got trees that hang over the house, maybe a tree limb fell, and the wind caught it and slid it off. And that would make the sound of that, like, skateboard.
Sure.
Like, clack, 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 down the shingles, in other words.
Uh-huh.
So, nothing there. I lay back down. No big deal. Go to sleep. It's just like whatever it is gets my attention, and once I'm up, it doesn't want my attention. It just doesn't like me to sleep for whatever reason, which it irritates me so bad. So anyhow, we go through this, and it gets a little bit more, and then I get some more of those phantom, there's something's breaking in the kitchen, but nothing's broke. All right? It was 10 o'clock. I literally just laid down. I was like, I'm going to try to get some sleep early because I know I'm going to get woke up. It's the way it goes. So I'm going to try to get a couple hours, and then I'll just be up until about 5 o'clock. I can go to sleep and get a good hour before I get to work. And I get a phone call, and they're hysteric. They're like, hey, your dad's house is on fire.
Oh, jeez.
So I jump up, and we run in there, It's just about 8 miles away, small little town my dad lives in.
Mm-hmm.
And we get there, and I ask him what's going on, everybody right? And the house is gone. Like, it's completely gone. It only takes me 10 minutes to get there. And in 10 minutes, it's down. His car burned up.
Wow.
So I was asking my father, like, I was like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. He's like, we were getting ready. And like I said, my father drinks. He drinks every night before he goes to bed. That's just the way he is. So I know he's pretty good and lit.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that they were laying in the bed, and he has a little dog, and it started barking and yelling and just going nuts, he said, just absolutely going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it had to go outside. So he got up out of his bedroom, walked out the living room, and then he's got a enclosed porch on the outside. So he opened his door, left that door open, walked, because it's an enclosed porch, walked in, and he said as soon as he opened that door to let his little dog out, behind him, what they call a back draft, what the fire department said, the fire ripped right behind him. And he only had literally pajamas on, nothing else. He's barefoot. I mean, he's got socks on, but he's barefoot. This is midwinter. It's 18 degrees outside. Oh, it is cold.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I said it was hysteria is the phone call I got wasn't from my father. My father's phone was in the fire. He walked out and went to go look for a phone so he could call for help. And I got a call from a buddy of mine that lives down the road. And he went down there and couldn't find my dad, and he thought my dad was in the house, which that's why I thought he was, too.
Yeah.
Because I was like, man, he's passed out drunk, you know, just horrible thoughts. So I flew in there, and he was fine.
Okay.
But the way he described that dog going nuts, and this is the fourth family fire now, our fourth fire, and every time my dad has been in the house, we haven't, but he has every single time, and he's made it out.
So here's what I don't,
it out again.
Here's what I'm not that I don't understand about this though is that a backdraft usually occurs when all the oxygen's been using up. Yeah, I mean there's no more oxygen to fuel the fire, but the heat and the gases are still in there. But when he woke up, I mean he was able to walk all the way through this, not smell anything, and then once he opened that door,
I'll explain one thing.
Okay,
they remodeled this house.
Yeah.
And it had a 10-foot ceiling, and they dropped it to an 8-foot. Plus, you have the peak of your attic. And what the fire department said, because they said it was burning blue out of the roof whenever they first pulled up. But they said it started somewhere on the top and burnt that first layer, and then you got your drywall, flat board, plaster,
mm-hmm.
and then you have a drop ceiling with two layers of sheetrock there.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to say that it was burning in that attic. Electrical fire is what came down. That's what they classified it as. They said it was an electrical fire, and then whenever he opened up that door, he must have let a gas in some sort, which I honestly, like I said, I can figure out a lot of things, but that just doesn't really make much sense to me how he was aware to be in the house this whole time.
Yeah.
And the attic's on fire, and he didn't know it.
Right.
You know, like, that's what I see as well. I just don't understand how he didn't smell anything.
Right, yep.
So it's a little odd.
Okay.
That was a little odd. But
okay,
it could just be
it's not
a
just
regular
me.
Fire.
Yeah, but it's not just me then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No, yeah. No, I feel you. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
So, knowing that we've had three fires since I've been alive, and that could be the reason why we grew up as poor as we did, is because we've lost everything every single time, and insurance really wasn't a thing back in those later early 90s. And if you couldn't afford it, you just didn't get it.
Right.
It wasn't as accommodating as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, the reason I brought that up is because the activity stopped for a week. I had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened at all. I get peace. I get to sleep.
Okay, everybody. I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here, the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
And then it was in January. I had a buddy of mine, he's 67 years old. He's a good friend. I've known him for a while. All my friends are a little older. Sure. I've always been a gearhead. I've always worked. I've been responsible. So the younger crowd, I have a handful of friends in my age group. Mm-hmm. And everybody else is just, I like the normal guys that figure things out. They're not going to backstab you. They're just normal.
Right.
So anyhow, he was supposed to come out Saturday, on Saturday, because I had a new house, new shop, all that good stuff. So he didn't make it, by the way. And the night before, I get a slap on my arm, and it's an upward slap. So I'm laying in bed. I can't sleep, obviously. I'm just laying there, you know, looking at the ceiling like usual. And I get a slap on my right forearm, which is on, I sleep on the right side of the bed. And it's upwards. I could tell it was an upward slap. And I literally looked down at it, and I tried everything to reproduce this. Is it the wind blow? I took my hand even, rubbed it around, and maybe see if my hair on my arm was what I felt.
Mm-hmm.
But it was for sure, now that, because it happened two more times, now I know it was a slap.
Wow.
So I'm laying there, and I have my heel, because I'm slid down a little bit, got my covers and everything all bunched around me, trying to just get cozy, and the bottom of my foot, it's an upward slap, like a get up. If I was to wake you up and you were sleeping in bed, I would walk up and I would slap the bottom of your foot. Anyhow, I look directly down at it. There's nothing there, and I don't have any hairs up, no feeling. I just got slapped twice. And so I'm just sitting there, and I'm sitting there thinking about that, and I'm like, maybe I twitched, thinking about that. Maybe I twitched. I was about to fall asleep. I'm laying there. I'm trying to sleep. I'm tired. I'm focusing on sleeping. Like, I'm really trying. And I'm laying there, and my right arm again, right below my elbow, on my forearm, on the top, I get slapped on the third time.
Wow.
So, not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I know whatever this is has been coming in the room, but it hasn't hurt me. So I've left it alone. So that Saturday comes, and I get a phone call. One of my buddies passed away in his sleep.
Aww.
Which, that's the best way to go.
Yeah, sure.
I just didn't know he was that bad, you know. I mean, so anyhow, his daughter is a mortician, just for the record.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to talk to her a little bit. They classified it as a heart attack, but she said with everything that she's seen, she doesn't think that's what it was.
Oh.
We just left it at that. We were at the funeral and we were talking, so I didn't, whatever direction, as long as he went peaceful, I'm happy with that.
Right, right.
3 days go by after he passed. 3 days, nothing. Nothing. I'm peaceful again.
Wow.
It's just absolutely wild. So 3 days are amazing. I got a little bit of sleep, and then it starts up again. I get woke up, and it's nothing happened. It was just a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I get woke up out of a dead sleep. 3 o'clock again, and I smell fire.
And
I have a fireplace, so yeah. That's not nothing crazy. I have a fireplace.
Okay.
So I jump up. We've had fires, and I have Wi-Fi. My fire alarm's here. I've got the mechanical bells, which they can never go wrong. Once the thermostat pops on it, it will ring for 2 minutes, and you have to hear it. So electronics, it can't fail, in other words.
Okay.
So I've got a couple of those, and then I have Wi-Fi in the room. So if one fire alarm goes off, you push the button, and it will find out wherever that heat source or whatever it indicated, what
mm-hmm.
room it's in, and it'll only beep in that room to let you know where your fire's at, and then you can accommodate to which direction you're exiting, in other words.
Cool.
So pretty nice fire system.
Yeah.
So, not bad. They didn't go off, and I can smell a fire. Like, I smell a gnat, like a fire,
mm-hmm.
not just wood. I smell a fire, like when all the materials are bad. It smells like a fire, an actual, like, house fire.
Right.
So I jump up, and I run through the house. Nothing. I pull the fireplace open, look in there, no fire, no big deal. So I go back to bed. Then I start having these door issues again. So Sunday, let's see. No, that would have been, okay, so that had been that Tuesday. So that Tuesday, I'm a pallbearer, and I had to go to my mother's to meet his daughter, and we were discussing the processes of how I'm going to carry him. You know, we were good friends, so
sure.
We had a real nice funeral for him. And I told my girlfriend, which she can't deal with death. She's a Phoenix girl, I'm a country boy. We are literally polar opposites, but I always thought balance, you know, like, hey, if you got something that's opposing you, you can bounce ideas back and forth, that'll work. So any direction, I told her that I was going to go over here and we were going to do this, and she is so weird about the death that she didn't want to do it. So she's getting agitated, and like I told her, I'm not trying to fight with you. I have to go. This isn't an option. I said, I need to go see her. It was 9 o'clock that night. I was like, I need to go see her. She's just now able to talk, you know, going through her father dying and all that good stuff. So I need to see her. She's over at my mother's right now. I need to go see her. So she didn't like that idea. So I left. I grabbed my puppy, and we took off. So locked my door, basic. This is winter time, so January, it's cold. I think it was maybe 23 that night. So I leave, I get over there, and she starts blowing my phone up. I've only been there maybe an hour, and we got a lot to talk about, so I ignore her phone. I'm not going to argue with this woman. We have a lot to talk about. So we went through our scenario. I was there maybe 2 hours, maybe two and a half. So I get home, and she's mad at me. I mean, she's distraught, and she's like, why did you leave the door open? And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, I hope that you took Subi with you, which Subi was still in the car. I just unloading all my stuff that I brought in, so I didn't have a leash for my dog. I said, yeah, I have Subi. I was like, what's going on? She goes, you left the front door open. And I said, no, I didn't. And she's like, yes, you did. And I said, I locked it. And I said, woman, I pay the electric bill because it's my house. There's no way in the midwinter I'm going to leave the front door open.
Right.
I just wouldn't do that. I just would not do that. That's ignorant. So anyhow, I go grab the pup, and we come inside, go to bed. I think it was probably a week later. It's probably 6 o'clock in the morning at this time.
Mm-hmm.
We wake up, and you can see your breath in the room. And I'm like, holy crap, it's cold in here. I thought my furnace quit.
Right.
My furnace was running. So I told you how I check the doors every night.
Mm-hmm.
So since 2017, I know that there's something out there in the dark, and it's pretty much a monster. I mean, that's the only way to say it.
Sure.
So anyhow, I religiously check my doors, and I know I locked that door, and I know I deadbolted. That's something I do. And then from when you come inside my house, that's the mud room, and then I have another door that goes into the main part of the house, and I lock that as well. So there's 3 locked doors as soon as you get into my house, plus I lock my bedroom door and that patio glass door that goes to the outside. So anyhow, I pop all that open, come out here, and my door's standing wide open.
Wow.
Wide open. And I'm running this through my head, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy that I grew up with playing football passed away, didn't make it through the night.
Oh,
and
geez.
It's weird. Kind of playing it off a little bit still, not making any sense. I get left alone for a week. Nothing. House is cool. Everything's good. Like, no, even while we're sitting here watching TV, nothing hitting the roof. And then it was probably about right at the end of February, right before 3/11. 3/11 was my big deal. But right at the end of February, we're sitting here watching the movie. It's Saturday. So it's Saturday night. We're sitting here watching the movie, and I hear, which sounded like 2 feet, like a person, run from the... Okay, so with the way my house is set up, my first big tree is pretty close to the flue, the chimney. So the fireplace is all brick. You know,
okay.
How that goes on the outside of your house.
Sure.
And then I got a really good-sized oak there, and it's probably 3 foot diameter. Pretty good size. Anyway, so right there where the fireplace is, all the way through the middle of the house, I hear what sounded like somebody run all the way across the roof.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? Like, there's no way. I thought about that. I was like, even if you climb that tree and try to jump, I don't think he'd make. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I said it, blowing it off. And she's like, what was that? What was that? Hurt. She always is pretty upset about when anything weird happens that I can't explain. So I say, I don't know. Let's just keep watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
So we're watching TV, and my dog jumps up. My dog is standing on the couch with her on the her back feet or on the lower side of the cushions, and she's perked up on the top of the back of the couch, and she's looking. She's fixed. She's looking directly at the door. She's growling. She's got her hackles stood up really, really far. Something's bothering her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of tired of hearing her growl, so I get up and I go look. And there's nothing there. I have a motion sensor out front. There, nothing's went off. So I walk to the back room, and I, like I told you, I feel like I'm losing my mind at this point, but I said out loud that they weren't welcome here because I feel like this is something that she's seeing that I can't see. So anyhow, for, let's see, the next, I know it's a good week and a half. Every time my dog would get up the same time as me, and she would go down to the edge of the door where the patio goes to the outside. She would sniff it, and she would growl. And she would just growl and growl and growl about this thing. So I coax her back on the bed, tell her to get up here, got to calm her down, don't want to wake the woman up. So I got her on my right side, and I'm petting her, and she gets up and goes to my left side between us. And I pick her up, and I put her back on my right side. And she gets back up, and she wants to go back in the middle. She's hiding behind me. So whatever it is bothering her to where she's using me as protection, in other words.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's weird. And this goes on literally nonstop until 3:11. Every single night, my dog is at the door growling.
Hmm.
And so I'm just getting frustrated at this point. I started burning sage because I've heard people talk about that. I started burning sage. I said some things, and I told some things they weren't welcome here because I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I'm just doing my part, my best I can.
Yep.
So to get to the part that this is where I need some good help, as I spoke to a couple guys I work with. They're witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
The JW, the show witness. So they're witnesses, and I was telling them what was going on with me, and they were like, hey, just use his name, say this. So I did everything. It didn't work. I think I told you that when we were talking before. It didn't work. Not that something was said, but when I said in the name of Jesus, you know what, tell you to go outside and stay off my property, all that good stuff. It was like it was funny to them. Mm. That was just an impression I got. Like, they laughed. Like, they...
Sure.
It gave me a feeling like I'm not going nowhere.
Right.
So, anyhow, I did it a couple times, and it didn't work. The only thing that would work was when I'd finally get to my breaking point, and I would just, with my heart, in other words, I would just so fed up, I'm sick of you, leave me alone, and that would calm it down for that night. So then I could finally get some rest, get up, go back, do it again. Next night, it happens again. So on 3:11, and this sticks out to me because I talked to a couple preachers at this point. I talked to one of my friends. I was telling him, because everybody was like, hey, man, you were like, crap. I haven't slept in 3 days. But my third day, I'm so exhausted. I work for a living. My hands are always busy. So I'm exhausted. I'm ready to go to sleep, and I'm frustrated. I'm tired of it. So when he said that, I said, yeah, I got some weird things happening at the house. He's like, well, what you got going on, brother? So I was like, well, don't look at me wrong. I was like, but no, I explained the situation. And he's like, wow. He's like, well, I have a friend. She's a, what they call a spiritual healer. And he said she does Reiki, which I honestly don't know what that is.
Sure.
So he's like, let me get into contact with her, and she can come down and clean your house. So I was like, all right, cool, I'll pay her whatever. Just get it done. I just need some sleep so I can get back to working. And he calls her, and this is the weirdest thing ever. He's like, hey, I think I need to get you two into contact. So I go over to his house. He calls her. She gets on the phone. And within not even a minute of me talking to her, just telling her who I was, like, hey, this is me. And she stopped me, put it on speakerphone. She said, put it on speakerphone, I wanted to hear it. And she said, you ask him what I told him 3 months ago. And I look over at him, and she goes, I know he's got it in his text. She goes, you can ask him to look it up right now. ask him what I told him. And I'm looking like, what the heck, you guys talking about me? She says, I have a gift. And that's weird because this has not felt like a gift my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I know things, I have fun dreams, but this is like a torment, in other words.
Yep.
And it's probably because I don't know, I've tried to stay away from it, and I don't know how to handle it.
Right.
So, to me, yes, I am getting tormented, and I don't sleep, which is horrible. You know how that goes.
Yep.
It's just horrible not to get no sleep. So, she says that. She tells me about whenever I say and I burn the sage, I have to say it like I have been whenever I get them to leave. You say it like you have to really mean it.
Right.
Like you have to, like, put your soul, in other words, to it for it to work.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, no problem. You know, if it happens again, I'll do that. And then she told me this, and this may be why I got jumped on. She said, because I don't know what I'm talking about here, but she said, when you burn the sage, say anything below the fifth dimension is not welcome in your house.
Hmm.
At first, when I burn it, I said, no spirits are welcome here. And then I got bored because there was no activity. You know, it's like it's boring. I mean, I'm serious. Like, I realized that I'm like, hey, I kind of like this because it's exciting.
Sure.
It's like that new piece of science that we haven't found yet, and I think I'm tapping into something. So I'm kind of bored. Mm-hmm. So I did my ritual for about a week, and it seemed like it worked. I just get a couple knocks, no big deal. But then I burnt the sage, and I offered that. I said, no spirits below the fifth dimension, and then Sunday to Thursday is when I was getting followed, and that Thursday is when that thing jumped on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then me being ignorant again, I challenged it.
Oof.
And it put it on me. I mean, it dropped, like I said, that when it grabbed my head, and I told it what I literally said, I was trying my hardest to turn my head. I could not, it had a hold of me. Like, my body was sore that next day just from trying so hard to get out from under it. But when I tried to turn my head to look at its face, and I said, you can't hurt me, I'm mentally too strong, and it dropped that blanket on me, I think that was me challenging it.
Yeah.
I didn't, you see what I mean? And since mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm dealing with, I shouldn't have done that.
Sure.
So, yeah, I screwed up, but that right there changed everything. Then I went back to burning the sage, saying, nothing here is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So, 311, let's get to that, because this is where I need help. All right, so it was 3 o'clock, well, 3:30 when I actually looked at the clock. I know it was around 3 because I was woke up. I'm getting tormented again. It's in the room. I can close my eyes, and I can say exactly where this thing is going. Like, I know where it's going. I can just, it's a beacon. I can feel this thing, and it's no good. And it walks over to my side of the bed again, and it just looks down at me. And I don't know, it's not huge, but it's tall. It's mm-hmm. slender.
Sure.
And it's sitting there looking at me, and I'm frustrated. Like, I'm so mad. I'm frustrated. I'm sick of this. I've been tormented. You're tormenting my dog. I got down on the ground, literally, with my forearms on the ground. I put my hands together. I put my forehead in my hands. I'm on my knees in my forearms, and I prayed to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and that thing did not leave. I prayed to Jehovah. That mm-hmm. thing did not leave. I prayed to the angel Michael, because I read the book.
Yep.
I've read a lot about him.
Yep.
And then when I prayed to him, what I did, and I'm probably not going to say this right, but I like married my heart and my mind together.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said is I asked him to help us, and I asked him to look at me. I said, look at me, help us. And what I'm meaning was not my girlfriend and I was talking about the dog, because the dog, her and I are getting tormented.
Sure.
And when I did that, this is the weirdest thing. And this is, I do need help with this. Okay, so I had my eyes closed when I was doing this prayer. This is giving me freaking cold chills. So I'm laying there, and I start like a fuzzy, like a static fuzz coming into a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I start seeing a light. And it's a bluish light, and I open my eyes, and I'm in my room.
Mm-hmm.
I close my eyes, and it starts to fade back, and it does a reel. It's just like a movie reel with no sound. So I'm seeing images, and there was a lot of threes for whatever reason.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you a few reasons, but there was a lot of threes, and then there was a guy in a headdress, Indian headdress, like full feathers, full-fledged, mm-hmm. laying down in a place that looked like space. Just the colors and how there was nothing below it. And I got to looking at him because that light was illuminated. It was a blue ball. Picture this. A blue ball, kind of like the Doppler radar.
Sure.
How you get, when your hurricane comes in, you have that whip.
Yes.
Okay. So that whip rotating counterclockwise. And every time that whip would come around, it would illuminate these shadows.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was looking at, and I opened my, three times total, I opened my eyes, I'm in my room. I close my eyes, I'm seeing with my forehead. And that's a weird, I understand, that's hard to articulate, but I've seen it with my forehead.
Sure.
So.
Makes sense.
That makes sense?
Yeah. There's
yeah, hopefully it can make sense. Yeah, dude, well, I'm telling you what, this is blowing my mind.
Well, let me just quickly address that, is that the third eye chakra is, you know, there's energy points in our bodies. They're called chakras. They're major centers. There's major chakras and minor chakras. But the major chakras, there's seven of them. One is in your groin. Well, that's your root. Then your abdomen. Then your solar plexus. Then your heart. Then your throat. And then your third eye crown. So I think I said all seven of them if I missed one of them. But the third eye is right in your forehead. And that's related to your pineal gland, which is spiritual sight. And so you had activated that, and you were seeing from that third eye. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that does help a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause this thing is working. So I'm watching this, and when that light, when that whip, I say whip, but just picture like the tail of the Doppler, how it, mm-hmm. when it rotates, how it, anyway, so I'm always illuminated, this body laying down. I think it's dead.
Okay.
That was what I see. I think it's dead and has a headdress on. And these shadows, the two, the one that look like a Dementor, the one that looks just like a person, but it's a shadow, are above my chest and my head. And then the one at my feet, I've never seen before in my life. And it has a hat on. Mm-hmm. And this shadow has like if you took an Abe Lincoln hat and you shrink it down, mm-hmm. like a flat bill hat, shrink it down to about 4 inches.
Okay.
That's what he's got. Mm. And he's looking over my feet. Here's where it gets crazy. So I started focusing on that Indian. And when I look at his face, when that Doppler whip comes by, every time the whip would come by and it would light up everything, and the shadows got, they didn't light up, they just got more pronounced. It's
okay.
Like they absorbed the light.
Sure.
But when it would whip, they would back off the body. So I looked, and it was me.
Yes.
I had the headdress on.
Yep.
I was dead.
I knew that's what you were going to say. Yep.
That's odd.
Well.
That is odd. And
it depends on what weird. You think about the ideas of, like, reincarnation, if you're open to it or not, and to each their own. But let's just say.
I understand.
Let's just say, for instance, you may have been that in a past life, or what you may be seeing is a more clear representation of your spiritual self, which maybe your beliefs are more in line with what would be like a Native American or shamanistic kind of views. And I don't pretend to know, but what you're seeing is it could be somebody you were, could be some spiritual tie you have with a past life. It could be a spiritual tie that you have with a spirit that has attached itself to you, which may be of Native American origin. So there's lots of possibilities, and I don't mean to try to talk like an expert here, because it could be
I need what you're saying.
Right. So, I mean, that it could be representative of any one of those things. And as I'm saying these things, just trust your gut. Whatever's resonating with you, grab onto that, because I'm just throwing out ideas, and you know, it could be all of them. Who knows? But, you know, that to me, it could be more symbolic than that. It could be something, you know, perhaps there's something about the experience of the Native Americans that you really resonate with. And so therefore, you know, you have a representation of that with maybe all the turmoil you're going through. I don't know, you know, again, lots of ideas, lots of possibilities, and many, many more than I could ever think of, but I'm just throwing these ideas out as they come to me.
No, that makes sense, because there's a lot more to this that I can't articulate, because it wasn't here. What they were showing me wasn't here. It
sure.
wasn't on Earth. Whatever, it literally looked like we were in space.
Mm-hmm.
Just odd. Like, I can't.
Or the astral plane.
It was just,
you might have been seeing.
Or yes.
Yes, it could be astral vision. You know, you were somewhat projecting.
So, it goes on, and that light was protecting me. So every time that light would whip, and it was like a HID, a headlight on the car, when they're like a blue, but they're mm-hmm. still white.
Yes.
Like a blue light.
Yep.
Okay, so that's what it looked like. And it was not like on my body, but mm-hmm. it was down just a tad bit lower, illuminating my body. So I was always in the light, and the whip from that light would push back those shadows, those ones that have been messing with me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, I wake up and I think I'm dying. Like, straight up, like, holy crap. So I'm literally, I get on the bed, and I'm sitting, like, with my legs crossed, so my knees are on the bed, and my feet are behind me on where the pillow is, and I have my back up against the headboard.
Mm-hmm.
And my dog gets down, goes right back to that door, which goes right outside, and she's sniffing, and she's smelling, her hair's up, and she starts growling. And she's sitting there growling and growling and just getting, like, worked up to where she hasn't barked yet. She doesn't have a bark. She just developed her bark last week. But she's just starting to, like, I think she's about to bark.
Yeah.
And it looked like something just blasted her in the butt, just scalded her.
Mm.
And she jumps up, like, feet kicking. I got hardwood. And she's just kicking, jumps up, hits the bed. As soon as she hits the bed, she bulldozes. So she sticks her nose down the covers,
mm-hmm.
runs all the way over, hits my girlfriend, like, just terrified, pushes her over. She wakes up. What the heck's going on? And here I am sitting here with my back up against the headboard. She doesn't like to talk about it, but I just said it happened again.
Mm.
And she's like, whatever. And she's mad. She pushes the dog off of her. Leave me alone, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
I'm sitting here. So I grab my phone and I take a look at the clock. It's 4:06 when she got whatever happened to her, my pup. So it's 4:06. She's 65 pounds, by the way, too. Call her a pup. She's young, but she's a pretty good-sized dog.
Sure.
So in that whole little vision that I had, there was a whole lot of symbols, just weird symbols. Anyway, the next morning, I called my mother on my way to work, and I had to ask some questions. And I asked her, I said, what time was I born? And I was born at 4:09.
Mm-hmm.
And 4:06 is when the dog got slapped. So this is 3/11, third month of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Just more threes that I saw in this whole deal. And this whole time, I think I'm dying. So I asked her this. I said, Mother, we talk freely. She's
sure.
my best friend, you know,
mm-hmm.
so we talk freely. And I said, I had something happen to me last night. It's real weird, and I'm trying to figure it out. Do we have any Indians in our family? And because I knew my grandmother that passed away last year, when I told you about that in the last one, my shoulder was getting rubbed, and
yeah.
the funeral lady confirmed that it was the same guy. So, anyway, she was Cherokee, last one. We got bright blue eyes. Whole family. We all have bright blue eyes.
Mm.
And that's a thing. They're kind of Caucasian and bright blue eyes. She's always dark-skinned, although she didn't get outside. She lived a good life.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, so that just confirmed the Indian part. I'm
right.
like, okay. Now the next thing is I'm dying. Like I've not told my mother this. I'm gonna leave this part out unless I actually died and somebody else can tell her. So I go to work. My boss, because everybody knows what I'm going through at this point. Just they can see it on my face when I don't sleep. You know, and I have been, you know, bringing things up. They are all witnesses there. I'm the only one who is not a witness. Mm-hmm. Just, we get along. They treat each other good. We're fine. But so anyhow, he asked me, he's like, you know, how'd you sleep last night? And I said, you know what? Last night was the strangest thing yet. Out of everything, the strangest thing yet. And he said, well, what happened? I said, well, I did exactly what you said. I prayed. And then when I prayed to Michael and then literally married my heart with my mind and asked him to see me, I had a vision. Mm-hmm. And they blew their mind. They couldn't believe it. They could not believe it. And I said, well, maybe I'm nuts. You know, I don't know what to say. Maybe I'm really going crazy.
Sure.
And they said, join the club, you know. So anyhow, left me alone today. And I was sitting there thinking about that. I get a phone call about 2 o'clock. One of my friends died.
Oh, no.
77 years old. Died at 3:11 on 3:11. There's my death. Third one of my friends died this year. Third month of this year. There's those threes I saw.
Yeah.
So, what? To me, I've never in my life believed in coincidences.
Sure.
It's like cause and effect for me.
Right.
Everything happens for a reason. There's always something that you can fall back on, and it's cause and effect to me, and that's my own opinion. So anyway, there was my death, and I was like, well, that sucks. So I go through, and I didn't notice this part until we were at the funeral and I was reading the obituary, and it shows the time of death, and it was 3:11 on 3:11.
Oh, wow.
And it was my third friend. So it's now it's making sense to me. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't just a vision. Like, somebody intently gave that to me.
Right.
And I prayed to, like, those three deities, and I opened my heart up. So they're helping me. So now I feel like I have a little bit more power. I got somebody on my side. I'm no longer alone.
Wow.
I feel this way. I don't know if this is true, but I feel better. Like, I feel better. So I'm like, you know what? I can combat this thing.
Yeah.
So another one of my friends, he had to come up from Florida, and 'cause this is his uncle. And so we're sitting here on my mudroom. We're sitting here talking, and I was telling him, and going through the basic blah, 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 blah. And then we have our funeral that next day. And that night, I felt really good. I feel this thing come in my room again.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my hair, like, I'm electrified. Yeah. I know this thing's here. And then I feel it. And those, what I sent you on my arms, those bruises, those aren't handprints. If you look at that, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But it held me down. I couldn't see it. I was looking literally directly where I should be able to see it. I could not see it. And it held me down again by my arms, and I tried to raise up, and that's probably how I got bruised, because I'm just getting mad at this thing. And it bruised me. I told it, do it, just like I did with Baphomet.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you release that fear,
they
go away.
Yep.
So they feed off fear. And the only thing I can think that does that, just by what I know off the top of my head, is the demon. I mean, truthfully, or am I wrong?
Well, no, I mean, they're the most common, but shadow people also are known to feed off of fear. There's lots of different negative entities that are believed to feed off of fear as well. And I'm not quite sure why they do it, but it's something about that fear energy. Perhaps for things that aren't, you know, quote unquote, in the light, then they need something to subsist on energetically. And so maybe fear is a really heavily charged emotion and energy for them. But yeah, I mean, but demons are the most common that you hear about, but there are others.
No, that makes sense, because a couple of these shadows are two-dimensional sometimes.
Mm.
So I have solid doors. I have solid wood doors.
Uh-huh.
And for whatever reason, I told you, like a child, they seem to come out of doorways.
Mm.
Like, that is either their geometric pattern that they can follow through, or portal, whatever direction. But I saw it in my door, and I already got woke up, and I'm just fast. I popped directly out of bed, and I punched the door, and my hands swelled up like
Wow.
I was just, it was a person.
Mm-hmm.
I punched this thing. 2 days later, it happens again. I get woke up, and I see if you were leaning inside of a door. So if you just literally, like, say a door was open, and you were leaning out to where all I could see was your head and your shoulder, that's what I see. And I jump up, and I go over there, and I was like, you know what? It's on the wall this time. I was like, I'm not going to punch it. So I backhanded it, and I just smacked it, and it went right, just wall, bam, smacked the wall. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let you keep me up. So I went and laid back down, and I got the tapping on the mirror, which is by the bed, and I ignored it. I was like, I'm not giving you any more attention. I'm going to sleep, because they feed off this. It's like they like tormenting me. In other words, like that,
yeah.
For whatever reason, they like it. You know, like, that's what my impression, my gut, and my gut has never been wrong. That's why I like to really trust my instincts to get me places. But, so I ignore it. And I've been doing that. But then it was Sunday. So after we spoke, you and I, last week, this Sunday, I got woke up, middle of the night, once again, it's always around 3 and 4 o'clock, and I got in my left ear, a woman's voice say, hey, like that. And I immediately popped up. I looked over, my girlfriend's stalling logs. She's just sound asleep. And this is where I really think I'm losing my mind, is I hear whispers. I don't know what they're saying, but I hear whispers. And you know how when you hear a sound, you can focus on that sound? Like, say a bug or a frog's going off. If he keeps making noise, you can find him. Like, you can track him.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm hearing this, and I'm looking to decide, where is this sound coming from? And I can hear these whispers coming out of her forehead.
Oh, wow. So that's like clairaudience. That to me is clairaudience. Like, you are hearing, probably psychically, to be honest with you. I'm sure that probably wasn't auditory in the traditional sense, but you may have clairaudience, and that is the psychic sound. You're hearing psychic sound, or it could be like a telepathy of some kind. But that's powerful.
I can't make out what they're saying, though. I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what that is. Like, the hay was clear as bell.
Mm-hmm.
That was that, and what it was is I got woke up. I know somebody's here. I know, like,
right.
I told you about how it's electrified. I know somebody's here, and she said, hey, like she was checking to see if I was aware of her. They always know when you're aware.
You know.
So once they know, they pay more attention to you.
Well, I wonder, in some of these instances, I wonder if some of them aren't your spirit guides trying to come through to you, you being sensitive and all. And I think that you probably are I'm pretty much 99% convinced that you are a sensitive of some kind, and it's up to you to figure out what that means. But, we all are, but it's believed we all have spirit guides, and they are supposed to guide and lead us and bring us to understanding and such. And it may very well be that a lot of this is just that part of you that you've been pushing away for so long, is just going to surface either way. And, your guides are probably trying to push that through. It really, most often people encounter their guides when they're getting to that sleep stage or in that relaxed, almost meditative state before falling asleep or when waking up. So, a lot of what you describe is coming at that time.
Well, I probably need to do some research into that, because I've never meditated. But
sure.
I know, just like when I'm dreaming, I can still hear, like in the morning, whenever I'm doing my lucid dreaming,
yes.
I can hear everything she's doing. Like, she's getting her makeup on, she's getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear everything she's doing, but yet, as long as I don't get excited in my dream, I can stay there.
Right.
And I know where I'm at, but I can stay in my dream.
And the other part of it is that I think that meditation is going to be incredibly important for you. Because not only do I believe they have it, but the problem is that it's totally unfocused. So right now you're getting these things popping through and creating issues for you. And I think once you learn how, I'm going out on a limb here saying this, but I do believe that you have some kind of natural ability. I believe it's probably pretty significant, but the problem is it's unfocused, it's untrained. And so you by meditating, you will help to refine that and be able to be in control of it rather than it popping in and being an issue for you. And the other thing is that people that are psychic, oftentimes, especially when they're not really sure what the hell's going on or what they're doing, they get plagued by all kinds of entities that are, and some of these may be people that are trying desperately to tell their story, or, you know, some, you know, unfinished business stuff, or they just want someone to hear their story so they would have some kind of closure. And they seem to be really acutely aware of people that are gifted. And I don't like that term gifted, because it implies somebody has value over someone else. And that's not it at all. I think we all are, yeah. But there are some people that are just more naturally, you know, turned on just from birth, just by birthright. And I think that you're probably very much one of those people. And as you learn to train these abilities and learn how to turn them on or off at will. Right now, it's just kind of in this perpetual on state, and it's in coming in waves, because, you know, it's just this unfocused ability, this unfocused sense. So as you learn how to tune into it and then tune out of it, you will become in control of these situations.
That makes sense. I just felt like I'm going nuts. Like I said, I left out. I promise you, I did. And I even told you could use my name, and it was fine.
Sure.
And then I was thinking about it, and I left out. Just because I've tracked a couple people down from hearing a podcast, and I'm not a detective, but the fact that I could track you down by the details you gave,
yeah.
I purposely left out two details about that Sasquatch, because if you hear what I said, it will stick in your head and you will find me. And I run not even one, but I run two businesses. And
sure.
It may affect me.
Sure.
So that's why I left out two parts, but I'm sure if Wes hears it, he'll know exactly who I am. And I gave a lot of details about my life on that, because Sasquatch isn't nearly as bad as what I'm dealing with now. I mean, heck, that makes it like just kicking a ball, you know?
Sure.
Well, but I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to think that Sasquatch is a spirit of some sort, and it can come in and out, because that thing marked me, and then it seems to be the one tapping on the window.
Sure.
But then I can't really get it, and I have game cameras.
Sure.
So I put up trail cams just to help my glass door, and it's helped.
Yeah.
It's helped. It keeps things from happening, but I think these things can see infrared, or they hear it. Because if I put my night vision goggles on and I walk through the woods, I can see a trail cam like somebody has a flashlight.
Right.
You can see it plain as day, because that infrared spectrum is just, it lights up pretty good. I mean, so if you could see in that, that's why we're not going to get them on game camera. So,
right.
But anyhow, that's helped. You've helped me out tremendously just with this. I think I know what I need to be researching.
I think those would be good places for you to start. And I have some people that I can put you in contact as well. And they are psychics, and they can probably help you a ton more than I can in that regard, because, you know, they've been doing this a long time. And so if you're open to that, and it's not, they don't charge.
No, I would love it.
Yeah, they don't charge.
Yep,
so
I don't care to pay. I would love to actually talk to them.
Sure.
Instead of the email thing, because my hands are always busy.
Sure.
So if I could speak to them, I think we could meet up like that. Yep. I really think I could, if they tell me where to go, I can go there.
Yep.
It's an odd thing to say, but I feel like I can do it.
Okay. Very good. Well, I, you know, you and I will be having ongoing conversations, but I just want to thank you so much again for coming on and sharing your experiences, because, you know, these are the kind of things that I think will help other people out there too. And that's the beauty of people sharing their stories, is that there's someone out there listening that's going to be able to relate to some of what you're going through. And maybe some of this discussion will help them as well, or embolden them to step forward and tell their story and get some help themselves. So, and it doesn't necessarily have to be. It doesn't have necessarily, I'm not just advocating that they only call my show, whatever show, you know, that people like, if they feel like that's the audience that they want to speak to, then do it. Because I think these things happen, and they leave you so trapped and alone, and you feel isolated. And so there are whole communities of people out there that are, you know, happy to listen and to give their advice and their opinions, other experiencers as well. So it's just been great talking to you again, brother.
Hey, you as well. I've been feeling like I'm losing my mind.
Nah,
I mean, I'm literally like, who can I tell? I can't tell most people this. You know, like this is
yeah. Well,
this is hard. You know, like if you've never had, because all life is experiences and mm-hmm. perceptions.
Right.
So you and I can have the same experience, but depending on how we perceive it, total different situation.
Yes, very much so.
You may think that dog was fine, and me, I'm like, that dog's going to bite. You know, like, or mm-hmm. that was horrible. Or so.
You were there.
Life's just experiences.
Yeah.
Yes, it's just experiences and perception.
Yes, exactly. And so, quite honestly, I never belittle anybody's experiences because they were there. I'm not there. And so I would never judge somebody's experiences and say, well, this person's just, you know, overreacting or whatever. I mean, I wasn't there. You were there. So I believe what you guys, you know, all of the people that share their stories, I believe what you're telling me because, you know, I think it's an act of bravery to come forward and to share these things. And I certainly would never belittle people that are making that big step to do that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Like I said, I'll listen to the rest of your spiritual stuff. Now I've usually just listened to your Sasquatch, and then you start talking about spirits. I turned it off. I told you I've just always been. I know they're real, and if you ignore them, they'll go away. But now I'm at the point to where it's knowledge I'll need to know, and I'll look at the rest of it. But yeah. I could tell you were a genuine person, and whenever we first talked, and you asked what I was if I was doing an interview, and I said no, I just want to talk to you to see if
sure.
it was worth even talking about.
Yeah,
and
well, it's
just
very
our little conversation we had, it's been great. It's been great. I think you and Wes got a lot going on. You help people that, like myself, that I can't just go out in the open and tell people what's going on in my crazy head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just so, but this is a nice outlet, and I hope that somebody else can take some part of it and help them.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole reason why I'm coming forward to let everybody know how nuts I am. So,
well, if you're crazy, brother, you're our kind of crazy. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure I'm loopy, but
nah,
I'm all right with it. I've had a great life. And
no, brother, it's great.
I think that I should look into it. Yes, I think I should really look into this and see if I can develop it.
Yes, I do too. I think that once you do, you'll be, not only it'll help yourself, but then you'll be able to help other people as well. And I think that that's really powerful.
Yes, I agree.
All right, Scott. Well, thanks for making the time to be
awesome.
Here with us. And again, if anything else comes up, let me know.
I will do. And if you don't mind, could you send me an email for anything that would link me to what the path I need to be
yes.
as far as what you think?
Absolutely.
Like what I, yes.
Absolutely, brother.
Yes,
I sure will.
Let me know that. That'll
okay.
help me tremendously. Heck yeah, and you have a good evening.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's a good run, brother. But yeah, keep me posted,
awesome.
And I'll be emailing you, brother.
Thank you. Thank
All
you.
Right, take care.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.